As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Donna Dort. This is Lee Dort and I'm down to dunk. This is Lee Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
I'm Josh Giddey, and I'm down to dunk.
Hey, this is Kenny Hustle, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Poku, and I'm down to dunk.
I love cereal. Captain Crunch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Oh, I can have these? I'm going to share with my team, but I'm a hog most of them.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, is Michele Barra. Michele, what's up?
Not on Monday, though.
I know. Weird Tuesday pod. Needed a little bit longer of a break after an insane week of covering the draft. And a weekend of covering the draft, too, because we got to talk to the players on Saturday. So it's great. First of all, thanks to everyone who joined us at Fassler Hall Thursday night for the draft party, and thanks to Fassler Hall and Lively Beer Works and NBA Top Shot for all being part of the event. It was incredible. Very overwhelming. Fox 25 locally did a story on it. The Oklahoman did a story on it too, but didn't mention us at all in the story. They just talked about a gathering that happened. I guess they just couldn't mention us, maybe because it had to do with The Athletic. I don't know, but that was kind of cool. And then there was a story that went up on News 9 too, on just on our podcast. So it was kind of a crazy, overwhelming week that included the draft. And Michele, the Thunder, I thought they did well in this draft. They walked away with four players, three lottery picks. I've struggled to figure out the last time a team picked three times in the lottery. It just doesn't happen, you know? And you get the second pick and then two picks in the sweet spot, which I really appreciated Sam doing. So initial thoughts, what was your initial reaction to the Thunder's draft?
Well, I think I'm in your camp with this. You have one pick that is way more important than the other.
Yeah.
And on that pick, we had a lot of information. I think it's incredibly interesting for us to see Paolo going one.
Yeah.
And seeing Presti choosing between Jabari and Chet.
Yeah.
That tells me something. It tells me what we believed from the beginning, which was, hey, we got Chet. And it's really not close. At least it is. Like that.
It tells me that Chet was above Jabari all along for them.
Yeah.
And not, I mean, that was obviously the case that Jabari was lower for the Magic. And then you get to the Rockets and they seem to make the right choice for them too. I think that Jabari fits them well. But you just wonder if like Jabari was third on a lot of people's lists for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's interesting. And you just wonder if the play by the Magic was just to get somebody to bite on Jabari, thinking that maybe they
sure.
could get specifically the Rockets, because I think they knew that they could get their guy at three if the Rockets bid on Jabari. But I think the Magic actually kind of shot themselves in the foot with that, with the way they handled it, because I think that the whole time the Rockets are great. We're getting Paolo. This is going to be awesome. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that if you are Houston and you don't have such a strong, either you have a very strong read on what Orlando is doing. Maybe they had, like OKC, Chet Holmgren, way higher than the other two, and Paolo and Jabari in the same tier, and you don't trade up significant assets to pick in the same tier. This is something that I think has to be remembered when we discuss the draft. And so they probably knew that Chet was not up for grabs, mm-hmm. and OKC would not have traded back with the risk of losing Chet Holmgren. And so this is, I think that the draft tells us something there. In general, it tells us that OKC has a clear idea about the kind of player that they want. I know that everyone, every outlet, Sam Vecenie this morning, I listened to it this morning, but it's probably yesterday, with Matt Penny. They did an amazing, amazing review of the draft. The Athletic is amazing, so you can get tons of stuff there. And I think they said clearly, this is Presti picking a type.
Yeah.
Super long for their position, incredibly versatile, people that can make decision with the basketball in their hands, being able to be a creator for themselves and others. Mm-hmm. And every player that OKC took in the last two drafts is able to create off the dribble. Now, Trey Mann is probably on the lower end for creation for others, but you can say that he can create one of the most difficult shots to take at a very high level. And so elite creation skills is a must for Presti and size. Yeah. And I think that in this draft, he went like on this path. Usman Jang, we probably didn't have the same grades on him.
Yeah,
this is not a trade that probably me and you would have done in his position.
Right.
But you can see him saying, hey, I want two of these guys. I need to get two. So the only way is for me to pay a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. On the Jang trade, I think there's a lot of context to it. I think one way that you can describe it is like he traded three picks so he could pick twice in that lottery mm-hmm. range, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the reason why, because he could have expended the 12th pick and maybe like one additional pick, you know, and then gotten there where you don't give up three. But he gave up three picks that are more than likely not going to convey next year. A lot of people think, oh, these are 2023 picks. Well, they're not really 2023 picks.
Not likely.
They're likely going to convey later. Some of them may convert to 2 seconds. These are the bottom of the barrel picks for the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their guy.
There's one that has upside, I think, to be a lottery. Just one.
Yeah. And if that happens, and Jang is not good, then they made a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
If Jang is good, then you just don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
I got to be around Jang a little bit the other day. He's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he is massive, and he moves like a wing at that size is pretty wild, because he's got a frame too. He's not Poku.
No,
he's got a pretty thick frame, and to me, if he works out, like, man, you got a giant team, because Chet's huge too. Now Chet's super skinny, but he's huge, and we can talk. We'll talk about the roster crunch later, but let's say that Jalen Williams starts at 6'6". He's your smallest guy.
See, Dort hater. I spot you there. I knew you were going there.
Let's just go to a fantasy world where maybe Dort doesn't return to the team. And
oh, like, what are you doing? That's unless, me.
But if you have a team where 6'6 is the shortest guy on the court, like that's pretty interesting. Yeah. That is pretty interesting.
Even if you have Dort as your shortest guy, while being a refrigerator size, like he's square.
And he plays like he's 6'7", you know?
Yeah.
Dort dunks everything too. You kind of forget that. Like Dort likes to dunk the ball too. So
yeah,
I'm just saying that they're putting together this team. You hit the nail on the head with the decision making. I think you can look at all the players that they didn't select and say like, okay, they're not decision makers. I think that you can look at Jabari and say, well, why didn't the Thunder take Jabari? I think there's a fraction of the fan base that think that way. That, oh my goodness, why he's the number one guy on the board? Why didn't they take him? Or he can shoot better than Chet. Why didn't they take him? Which also, like, by the way, may or may not be the case. Like we don't know that for sure. But I think it comes down to making quick decisions with the basketball. And that's just not what Jabari does. He's a good play finisher. He's a good defender. And that's kind of where the list ends with him, of things that he does really well. And so with Chet, the list is a lot longer. He's way more versatile. He can make decisions with the basketball. Good passer. I mean, those things matter to this version of the Thunder. And then you look at everybody else. I mean, Usman Jang is a good decision maker with the basketball. Jalen Williams, great decision maker with the basketball. The other Jalen Williams, also that too. I mean, that's...
AJ Griffin, great with the basketball. Now, I struggle with this a lot. I will, like with Trey Murphy, the third, the guy who I really coveted last year, I see that they played a role and they were not elite creators. Mm-hmm. If you want to say that Jang has the potential to be an elite creator like Jalen Williams, maybe even great creator. Let's not put elite. It's that otherwise elite doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Giddy is an elite creator.
Yeah, for sure.
But in terms of decision making, if you look at the Jabari Smith shot chart, you say, oh, and we said that, like, boy, that is horrible. Yeah. Like, it's, hey, I'm going to shoot it because I will make it. This is not good decision making. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Griffin, I saw very little creating for others.
Yeah.
But extremely sharp decision making. Like, recognizing what the defense was doing and taking a good solution offensively. Now, I can see why in a team conception like the one that Thunder has, you prefer guys that are a little bit more willing to make the extra pass, to create for others. But to me, there is not a huge difference in terms of recognizing what the defense is giving you and the creation for others from Griffin and Trey Mann. Now, completely different players.
Yeah.
Completely different shot creators. Griffin is not the same level of shot creation.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of the other issues. He's not a guy that will take a step back against any kind of defense. Mm-hmm. But in terms of recognizing what to do when the ball arrives, I don't think he's bad at all. Now, he's in the worst spot to develop in the player that I thought he could be. So, I mean... That's bad.
He's just going to be catch and shoot there in Atlanta.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a team concept that allows him to be a better defender. I mean, all the players that are there are struggling to be the best version of themselves defensively.
Yeah.
So, to me, I'm a bit sorry.
Yeah.
But, hey.
Yeah.
Everyone can dream. Not every dream will come true. We already had Chet, so let's not be greedy.
Yeah, Chet, I mean, I've tried to reemphasize this, but if the NBA draft selections for the Thunder were a pizza, the amount that matters in the draft for the Thunder, like Chet's 75% of the pizza.
Which pizza?
What kind of pizza you like? You go ahead. You name your pizza.
Nice, nice, nice. I like this. You were about to say pineapple. Don't you?
I don't mind a little pineapple on my pizza. I don't mind it. But I'll let you choose. So you've never been more mad at me right now, I don't think.
Not pineapple.
Yeah, I haven't had pineapple on my pizza in a while.
Good. Good boy. No, any pizza that is a little bit spicy. On the chat, Grape Ape. He likes margarita.
Yeah.
No.
You don't like margarita?
No. Yes, I eat margarita, but I don't like margarita. It's it's vanilla. Like it's
It is like just eating, saying I like vanilla ice cream. Like, yeah, you like it, but do you just choose it? Like, no.
Yeah. You know, the deep dive on the pizza type that are the pizza type to have, it's going to be another Down to Dunk special when we will really need comfort food.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah. Anyways, Chet matters the most. And like, that's it. The reason you tank, the reason you have a miserable season is to get a guy like Chet. That's the reason. And then everybody else is, if Jang works, great. If Jalen Williams works, great. J-Dub. I don't know. I don't like the J-Dub, J-Will thing. I'll just go on the record saying I don't like it. And that we've got to find another solution for this problem. Because it's a problem. And I don't like the solution to the problem.
We need to find something that Michael Cage will remember and use.
Yeah. I don't know that that will work. Anyways, Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara, J-Dub. If he works, great. He's one player that I just have a hard time figuring out how he fails in the NBA. I don't know if he'll be great in the NBA, but I have a hard time figuring out a way that he fails. And then same for the other Jalen Williams, Razorback Williams. I think he is, I mean, he's as close to Jeremiah as it gets, right?
Like in terms of potential role, yes. I think that he is probably more suited to play defense as a five.
Definitely.
Whereas he's got better Jeremiah is more adept to pass to play a little bit more as a spacer. Mm-hmm. I think that, but yeah, I mean, I like the idea of using a second round pick on a center that can be functional in a fancy flow. Let's put it this way. I mean, of course, if it doesn't shoot the basketball, then his production will be limited for sure.
Yeah.
But if the spot up three, just the spot up three works, then you have a guy who can pass the ball, who is a savant defensively. He really knows where to be at all times.
Yeah.
He has good anticipation skills, not as Chet, but very good. He's absolutely not afraid, a little bit too much, I would say, to put his body onto driving lane and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so if you have like a 34% from three, that is a player that will play in the league for sure. With J-Dub, that doesn't sound good. I don't know. I don't want to call him neither Santa or Clara because it's not as cool as Razorback Will. Yeah. But I agree. I can see him at worst of a like not in the same role as Grant Williams because that is not a small role. But it like initially, the initial role of Grant Williams, the guy who is sound, who can play, maybe he's not as fast, as quick. So that is, to me, the only sticking point. Like, if he's quick enough defensively to stay with, like, NBA caliber guards.
That's a question.
Defensively.
Yeah, that's a big question for him, is what role he will play. And I think the answer is, like, a lot of different roles.
But you maximize him if you can't play as a guard.
Yeah, I don't know. I think offensively, he'll be fine. Defensively is the question. Like, what does it look like?
Yeah.
How does he figure out a way to fit in there? I think is a big question. But I think that they've got a coach that has learned to maximize players that maybe aren't the best defenders in the NBA. He did that last year. I mean, it's kind of crazy that they were a top half of the league defense at any point in the season last year. I mean, it makes no sense that they were able to do that. And that was Mark. And so, to me, the wingspan is a big deal. If he had, I mean, he's got a 7'2 wingspan. If he were 6'6 with like a 6'9 wingspan or 6'8 wingspan, I think that you'd be like, man, like, I don't know that I get it.
He's not the first round pick.
the length allows him to be able to have the athleticism that he does, which isn't, it's not great. It's not bad. He's not like a bad athlete, but that length really helps him a lot. He may not ever be an elite defender, but I think he can be a good one. And then offensively, I'm just a believer. I'm just a believer in what he can do offensively. He's not dissimilar to Shea. He's not as herky-jerky as Shea is, but he just finds ways to score. Like, he just did that over and over again at Santa Clara. They threw everything at him. And now, if you put him out there on the court with Shea and Giddy and Chet and whoever else, man, he's going to be like the third best defender on the other team. And that's the thing with having guys that can make decisions, like everybody that can make decisions. You can exploit the weak spot in the defense so easy because you have guys that can take guys off the dribble. They can make decisions with the basketball. I mean, that's going to be a huge advantage. And I really like the pick. I discussed him as a dark horse on Thunder After Dark before the draft.
Yeah.
And he ended up being the guy. I think that they were going to get him at 12 no matter what. And maybe even if they had to get him at 11, they would have made that trade at 11 and gotten Usman at 12. You know, I think those were the two guys that they wanted. And I like it. I like the concept of it. I was not the biggest Usman Jang guy, but I like the concept of drafting Chet and two wings in the lottery rather than like taking Chet and a big. You know, I was very, very much on the don't draft a big, you know, at all, you know, a traditional five, just don't do it. And they didn't, because I think that Jalen Williams, Razorback Williams, is a guy that can play the four in a pinch too. And is a little bit more versatile than a regular five is, but
I mean, and again, it's fine where they pick them. You know, the qualms with that pick is that my guy Gabriele Procita was there. So
I know
I just would have loved another play finisher, because I think that play finishers are, you have the idea that you can find them. I wonder if elite ones are really up for grabs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And maybe that decision was not about them liking him, but about the type of contract. I don't think that it's necessarily true that you have to give Razorback Williams a contract next season. If he earns it, great. If not, there is a two-way option.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. I mean, it's high for a two-way. It's pretty high. I guess he will find space. Mm-hmm. But maybe they wanted to keep that flexibility as well.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens there, because the roster is already, you look at it, and I tried to like sketch it out a little bit the other night on Twitter, and it's like, holy smokes. Like, there's not enough minutes here. Presti has already said that Green is gone. Like, he's not going to play for the Thunder. I believe the same thing for Favors. I think Favors is gone as well. And then you look at the possible rotation, like a starting lineup of SGA, Giddy, Dort, JRE, Chet. It's like a reasonable starting five.
Is this your preferred one?
I don't know yet. I haven't really. I need to think.
Come on, give me yours. Like, that one is.
It's fine. It just seems like one that would happen.
Yeah, that I agree completely.
It feels like a prediction. I really want something different. It's more of a prediction. I would start.
Come on, give me something different.
SGA, Giddy, J Dub is what I would do. And then Poku and Chat. Give me the thin towers.
That's not going to happen.
I know that would never happen. Never ever happen. Or like play Usman at the four. I don't know.
I think it's more likely that Usman starts as the 2-3.
He's a wing. There's no doubt about that. And that to me is one of the more exciting like subplots with this Thunder squad and what they do in the future. Is that if Usman Jang is a wing, he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Like he's, I don't know, some guys are like labeled as like 6'10 or whatever, and you get to see them, and you're like, yeah, I don't know that they're 6'10. I stood next to him and thought, I don't know that this guy's 6'10. I think he's 7 feet. Like he's huge. And I think Chet is taller than 7 feet too. I think he's probably 7'1", 7'2". I think he's huge.
Yeah, I think that it's likely that Chet is fully 7 feet without shoes.
Yeah.
And I don't think he measured at a combine.
No, he did not.
Cheng probably did though.
Yeah, Usman is, he was giant. Super duper nice too. My family got to go to this event where they got to meet everybody. And one thing that I like to see is how do these players and how do these guys react to like random kids they don't know, you know, like personality wise. And they were all like so nice and like just like good people. And you can just see it. Like they didn't know that they were like a media members kids. And like I'm over there like watching over their shoulder to like see how they're acting toward these guys. But they're all very gracious. Chet sat there and talked to both my kids like for a minute and like listened to them and was talking to them, interacting with them. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And, you know, I think that when Presti says that he drafts like people as well as like players, you know, I think he really means it. And it really does mean a lot to him and the organization that they get to bring in good people too. So it's just cool. It was just cool to see. Not that it matters that these guys are nice to kids. Like it doesn't really matter on the court, but
no,
I think it does when you're developing a culture, like a team culture, that you have just good people. And I think that all these guys like fit that mold to a T. And so like good on Presti, good on the organization for not only finding really good basketball players, but finding like really good people that I think can fit in this city too.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, like in any job, how you cultivate your working environment is extremely important. And it's easy if you do it with people that care or they decide that moment is important for the people that are there. And so they just give their best effort.
Yeah.
To be that kind of person, to be the guy who, I mean, talks to kids because they will remember. And so I really think that the effort, I mean, I think that a lot of teams do that and a lot of players talk to kids, but I think that the parent can feel the difference. And if you felt that's a good sign because it means that you thought that was authentic or that your love for Chet is so high that you were completely blindfolded from it. So it's fine anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I really like this class. So we did learn about Summer League a little bit and how they're going to handle it. The Utah Summer League is basically going to be for the guys that have already been on the team. So like Poku, Giddy, Trey Mann, Jeremiah, all those guys, Wiggins, all those guys are going to play in Utah. None of the rookies are playing in Utah. And then in Vegas, it's all the rookies. And I don't think any of those other guys are going to play in Vegas.
No.
I know for sure that Giddy and Poku are not playing in Vegas. I think there is a chance that Trey Mann plays in Vegas.
Okay.
So it could be, I mean, that would be pretty fun still. Like Trey and Chet and Usman and J-Dub and Razorback Williams. All those guys playing. That's going to be still pretty fun. And a decently functional team. I would also like to see like Aaron Wiggins play in that league too again to see what his progress is on the court.
Yeah.
So,
as a shooter, especially.
Yes. But that's, as of now, that's how they're splitting it up.
Yeah. Well,
it should be interesting. It should be at least pretty interesting. I hate that they're splitting it up. It's just not fun.
No, because we want to see Chet and Giddy. Come on. That's it.
Yeah, I know. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will discuss more of the roster crunch issues that the Thunder will deal with.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And we're back after that quick break. Michele, let's run through the roster real quick. So I think it's reasonable to expect the following players to probably play at least some in the rotation during the regular season. SGA, Giddey, Dort. JRE, yeah. Chet.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams. Trey Mann. Baisley.
Come on. You can't say Jalen Williams.
J-Dub.
Yes.
Trey Mann.
I would put Trey Mann ahead, but okay.
Yeah, this is not a ranking, by the way. Okay. Baisley. Jay Will.
Not sure.
Poku.
No, I'm not sure about Baisley.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, because when you think about the decision-making factor, like Baisley can pass, but Baisley's not the best decision maker. And you wonder how he fits long term with, like, essentially what he is kind of this versatile defender. And like that's kind of the end where
I'm not sold on it either.
Yeah, I know. And he can push and transition a little bit, but oftentimes doesn't. I don't know. I don't know that I see the future for him. And then I have Poku and Usman Jang to wrap up the list. That's 11 guys. I didn't mention Kenrich Williams, Mike Muscala, Aaron Wiggins.
Kenny will play.
I know. And it's like, how does this fit? How does this work? I think is going to be a really interesting thing. And go ahead.
I don't think that Razorback Will is going to get stable minutes.
Yeah, maybe not.
And I don't think that Baisley is going to get stable minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if Poku doesn't get stable minutes.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to battle for these minutes. It's exciting. And if you're on the team and you're like not firmly in the rotation, you're one of like 8 to 15 guys, you have to be a little bit nervous. And you have to you have to put in the work. This is going to be interesting because you're going to have to earn your minutes this year. And it's so intriguing because it's not necessarily to win games. It's more of like this year's developmental too. Like this year is like fully developmental for this team because they only have one pick next year in the draft. Yeah. And obviously they could trade for more picks or whatever, but they're going to have one pick. One pick. And this is the team plus that pick. And if you want to make the team, if you want to be a part of the Thunder's future, boy, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to put in the work this offseason. And I've already heard a lot of really positive things about how much these guys are working in the offseason. A lot of them are here already in Oklahoma City and have been working for a long time. And the amount of work it's going to take for guys like Poku and Bazley and Usman and Wiggins and, like, I don't know if Roby's around or if Teo's around or if any of those guys are going to be here. The amount of work it's going to take for them to make the rotation is going to be big. You have to be like pretty good to make the rotation.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be so intriguing to see not only like what the starting lineup is, but then like who, like you're unlikely to even run an 11-man rotation every single night. Like maybe that happens, you know, two nights out of the week. But not every night are they going to run 11 guys. They may run 10 or 9. But man, it's going to be tough because I agree with you that Kenrich will play. I think Muscala early on will play.
Yeah,
to
me it's not a given.
Those guys? Yeah.
That Muscala will be here. I mean, I'm sure that the team is willing to keep him here. I'm sure that he wants to be here. But even if he stays, I was that bad noise was my keyboard before. I was trying to get to last year's minutes and game played. Bazley is at the top of the list. 69 games, 28 minutes. I don't see that being the case.
No, he's gonna have to earn those minutes. Yeah.
Poku, 61 games, 20 minutes per night. That is probably on the high end. To me,
definitely.
Trey Mann, 60 games, 23 minutes per game. I think that there is a room for a little bit of improvement there, like 25.
But he's got to be better. 30. Like he's got to have taken this offseason and worked.
Be I have no
come
doubts.
Back and be better. Like he just has, but he has to. If you want him to be that, like he just has to be a better player.
And then you have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. All playing in the 30s. But all play 55 or less, 56 or less.
Yeah.
That is not going to be the case unless Andrew's dream is coming true, which I don't know. To me, Aaron Wiggins, 50 games, that is someone who has to really fight for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Those minutes are not going to be there for him. He has to be great. Yeah. And he's another guy where, like, if someone sees him at Summer League, and they offer him, I don't know, a good second rounder, I don't think Sam can hesitate.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's probably good value. I mean, I like Wiggins. I like him a lot. But, you know.
You got to figure out the roster somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Then there is Jerry. I think he plays. Mm-hmm. But not more than the 20, 25 minutes that he played last year.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I want to keep Kenrich around. So I think that he should play.
Yeah, I do too.
But anyway, last season we had 14 players that played 39 games or more with more than 15 minutes. So it's not impossible to see at least 12, 13 guys being in their rotation somehow because Chet will probably not play 82 games.
Yeah.
Jiang maybe will spend time in the G League. I fully expect him. Either he's great, and then, I mean, if he's great, but great meaning like too good for the G League, this team is going to win a lot.
Yeah.
And then I don't
expect that, by the way. Like, I don't expect that. I expect him to spend some time in the G League. I mean, Trey spent time in the G League this past year, like playing time in the G League. But I expect it to be similar for Usman. I think it's going to be... He's going to spend time in the G League.
And same for J-Dub and Razorback Will or whatever. I think that they both can spend time in the G League. quite a good amount of time, to be honest with you. So I think that if you see 14 players as playing for minutes, I think that is actually good thinking. I don't think that you should expect reasonably high minutes for just 11. It's probably going to be a 10-11 man rotation every single night.
Well, and things are going to change too throughout the season. They're going to want to try guys, and there will be probably parts of the season where like Baisley doesn't play at all, and we see a lot of somebody else. You know, and
like this is going to be 7 months out of seven in the season. Sorry.
I mean, a lot of people are like, "Oh man, we got to get Lindy Waters out there." I just don't see how they're going to do it. Like Lindy's got to be like 45%. Like he like makes 90% of his shots in practice. And like, man, we just can't keep him off the court. You know, it's got to be something like that going on for him to make it. And same with like Roby. Like I know the people that really like Roby and what he did at the end of the season, but man, like Roby's got to like take a huge step up to even make the team. Honestly, like him and Teo, man, because I do think that it's going to be Green and Favors. I think they're just going to be gone. Like I can't think of a reason that makes sense to keep those guys here. And then like Teo's got to be good in summer league. You know, I think he'll play in probably both Utah and in Vegas. Like he's got to be legitimately good and has got to have a really good training camp if he wants to make it, because he could be on the chopping block pretty easily. Same with Roby. I mean, I could see both those guys being gone. Because they just have to make decisions. Vit Krejci too. Like Vit's got to be good in summer league and has to have a. And to me, the most important thing is athletically, can he get back to anything close to what he was in Europe?
Yeah.
And if he can't, then I think that they cut him, or they trade him, or they do something.
I think that you can keep Krejci another year. Just to see, it's not really costly. He can be your 15 guy.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm out on Teo. I wouldn't even bring him to summer league. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, well, they can. So who cares?
They're going to.
It's not that they have to make a decision right now. Mm-hmm. So it's okay.
Ty Jerome, but it's interesting. Is another one that will seems likely that he'll be gone. Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
It's just hard to see a world where he fits with what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and also having a project for him. I mean, I can see Mike and Kenny being those steady veterans that will really help with ties. I mean, it doesn't seem that it's what they want for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a shooter that shot really poorly last year.
Yeah.
Like you just can't do that, you know. Lou Dort. Sam Presti told us the other day that he is going to pick up Lou Dort's option unless something changes, which something could change in the next few days. But it's likely that they'll pick up his option. That's something that we've talked about on this show a lot. I think that we've been on that for a while, that that's the most likely outcome for him, is that they pick up his option, take him to unrestricted free agency next year, and then either give him a deal or they don't. And I think it's the right thing to do for a lot of reasons. One, we don't know what his role is going to look like this year. It won't be like it was last year or the year before, I can tell you that much. Like he's not going to get the possessions. He's not going to take 8 threes a game next year like he did last year.
Hey, you know? If it's just 8 threes and nothing else, maybe. And from the corners.
Maybe. Yeah, if he takes 8 threes from the corners, maybe you're doing good. I think it's the right thing to do. Unless he's willing to accept like 10 or 12 million per, I think you carry it to the offseason.
I think his extension after the opt-in, after the option is done by the Thunder, then they can extend him. And I think that contract is reasonable.
Yeah.
I would sign him to that contract, to be fair. Like I think it's probably something around 60 million, a little bit less, like between 55 and 64 years.
Yeah, 4 for 60, I think, is about the max that extension can be, which makes sense for him.
I would sign him to that immediately.
Yeah, I think they would too. I just don't... I don't know. I don't think it's an indictment on Dort. I don't think it's an indictment on anything as far as like what, how things are going to be carried throughout the rest of his career here in Oklahoma City. I think he'll be here, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's important to see what he can be in this new role, just because you have guys like Chet, who's going to take a lot more possessions away. J-Dub mm-hmm. will take a lot of possessions away. If Trey Mann improves, he will take possessions away. I think Giddy, if Giddy gets better, I think that he will take possessions away. So Dort is going to turn into less of a creator, more of a play finisher, creator when he needs to be, and just a crazy dog defender. Like, that's going to be his role. And I think, I mean, we've seen him in that role before with the Chris Paul team. And if he can transition back to that and just be a really good essentially a 3 and D player, man, that's great. If you can sign up for $15 million per for 4 years, that's great. It's a great size contract to trade, and it's also a great size contract for a guy like that.
Yeah, I think that if you have, and I don't think that would be the case, by the way, but if Dort says, hey, let's agree on this now. I want this to be settled. Yeah. I really want to stay here. I don't want to go into the season with... I think that you do it.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit above the MLE. Mm-hmm. And whatever change of CBA you get, that contract will never be a bad one unless Dort is...
not in the rotation.
Has serious injury.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even if he replicates whatever he did this year for the entire season, cutting away a few possessions and just shooting 33% from three,
yeah,
while being an amazing on-ball defender, some team will jump on that contract.
Yeah, agreed.
So to me, that is value, period.
Yeah.
It's value today for OKC and for Dort.
Yeah.
Because again, if it struggles a little bit, then it may be 10 millions. Mm-hmm. 12 millions. So I don't think that is bad value for Dort to have that extension locked in. But I agree that probably he would like to bet on himself a little bit.
Yeah.
And OKC is not in need to be aggressive, because again, the difference may be a starting salary of 18 instead of 15 mm-hmm. if he's great. I don't think that there will be max offers next year. So.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Brunson is not getting the max.
Yeah.
He's probably getting something north of 20, but not that much. Maybe 100, 400, something like that.
Yeah. I think that's right. 105 or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that, which is, again, it's way more than 60, but also it's unlikely that Dort will pick up as much as Brunson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially with a lesser role. I mean, unless he just becomes a great player, which you'll
and then
just
you pay him.
You just welcome it. Like, you just welcome it, because they're going to be so flexible next summer anyways. You just welcome it. The more likely outcome is that he just becomes more of a role player and kind of fits what you do anyways, just kind of fits in. And, you know, they've been looking at guys like that for a long time, or looking for a player like that for a long time, so I wouldn't be surprised. All right. That's going to end today's pod. Alex and I will do a pod tomorrow morning at 10:30. So if you want to tune in on YouTube, you can. Be sure to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review. That would mean a lot to us. Subscribe on YouTube. And we will talk to you guys again tomorrow.